This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, November 11th. Well, a big strong day yesterday in the wheat space as we had Kansas City and Chicago both up 24, Minneapolis up 22. Corn trying to keep up with its rally of 14 cents, and soybeans were lagging behind but still up 5 on the day. So following a bullish crop report for soybeans the previous day where soybeans led the way higher, and corn and wheat were following. Yesterday it was wheat leading the way higher. A number of things going on. Two major things. Number one, the Russian government talking about tweaking the export tax because it's not working. It's not slowing down Russian exports as domestic prices for wheat and flour reach near all-time highs. So that is a situation that's not tenable for them. They're also talking about the tariff rate quota for wheat exports out of Russia to be moved up to January 1 instead of February 15th. So that's a whole 6 weeks where now exporters are not going to have that window to work within to keep moving out exports. So the bottom line is the Russian government is going to find a way to slow down Russian wheat exports and basically force farmers to start selling wheat that they've got socked away in their bins. Now, this expected drop in Russian exports follows USDA's actual increase of their estimated Russian exports in Tuesday's crop report. They took it up another million tons to 36 million tons. So maybe a little bit premature for USDA to do that, especially with the Russian government clearly indicating that they will slow Russian exports somehow, some way. And whether it's increasing the tax again, which is just not working because it's pushing world prices higher, but Russian FOB offers are still competitive in the world. So they're still selling a lot of wheat. And again, it's spooking the Russian government. So that alone is pretty bullish to the wheat market. It's going to shift demand, which has been stellar, over to other countries. And it's, you know, already we're talking about the world's major exporters' stocks to use ratios at all-time lows. And yeah, that's lower than 07, 08 when wheat prices shot to enormously to the stratosphere. I don't expect that to happen this time around, but it is worth noting that exporter stocks to use are extremely tight, and now they're going to get even tighter because you're taking Russia out of the mix, and they are the world's largest wheat exporter. So this is a big deal. And, you know, their drop in production, their disappointing yields, became a very big deal to the market. The Russian government was moving, even before that became known, to slow down exports. And it hasn't been working. So they're going to make other moves. This just adds more fire to the bullishness of the wheat space. On top of that, of course, you got the Southern Hemisphere harvest going on. And two issues there. The biggest one, we'll see, but one of the big ones that we know right now is the problems developing in the Australian harvest. Way heavy rains that are coming across the eastern belt of the Australian wheat belt, in particular Queensland, which is where their higher quality hard wheat is grown. And that is not only slowing down the harvest, but it's starting to, you know, create some quality issues as well. So this is a big deal too. You know, Australia is a major exporter, and they're running into quality problems. This is also adding some support to the bullishness in the wheat space. And then you have Argentina, which is going to cut a decent crop, not a huge one, but not a disaster that looked like it was going to be earlier in the growing season. But the problem with Argentina is they've grown a fair amount or enough GMO wheat that it could easily get into the mix of the world of their country supply. They sell most of their export supplies to Brazil, which is a major world importer, but is very particular about what they import. It's expected that today the Brazilian government will make an announcement if they're going to even accept Argentine wheat. Now, I can't imagine that they would not accept it. That would send wheat prices sharply higher. which obviously wouldn't be to their benefit since they're projected to import 6.5 million tons. I think they're going to leave it to the importers to decide what they want to do. And the importers likely are not going to want to take the chance that they could end up with blended wheat, or they're going to have everything tested and verified that it's GMO-free. So this slows down the process, and they know they can get GMO-free wheat in the U.S., which is basically the only other major supplier of hard red winter wheat outside of Russia and Ukraine. Ukraine will run out pretty quickly, and of course, Russia wants to stop exports. So here we have a situation where you could see a pretty significant shift in demand come to the U.S. So I think that's part of the drive in Kansas City wheat, other than just world supplies of wheat are tight, world supplies of high quality wheat are very tight, and of course that's Kansas City and Minneapolis. Minneapolis has been, you know, trying to ration wheat for quite some time, as it's been on a tear. Had a bit of a pullback here over the last week or so, but it didn't really correct all that much. And KC and Chicago both also had a correction, tested breakout points. Kansas City tested an old double top, held, even though the seasonal tendency would be for the wheat to continue lower into the Thanksgiving time window. We are seeing a market that is kind of moving contra-seasonal. And, you know, the market could stall out, it could go flat, it could do a lot of things, but I think that the bull market is very much intact in the wheat space. And I believe corn is in a bull market as well. So they will feed off of each other. And certainly a higher corn market is going to push wheat higher, more so than higher wheat would push corn higher. But either way, it's a situation that is now at this point demand-led, at least for the next few months, until the Southern Hemisphere harvest comes in for corn and soybeans. But for wheat, the market is rallying strong even in the face of the Southern Hemisphere harvest. Australian prices are sharply higher this week in response to the rain, and Argentine prices were strongly higher last week as world prices move higher. So even with their harvest going on, their own domestic prices are pushing higher as well. This is all feeding into the broader storyline of just very tight world stocks, and demand is strong. And now we're going to see the world's biggest exporter really start to slow down the exports. So you might get your pullbacks in wheat, as we saw last week and early this week, but the support levels are holding and the buyers are stepping up on the brakes. So I think that will continue to be the case. And for now, I think, you know, the markets, again, we might stall out, we'll get our pullbacks, but we're going to see the buyers step up. And I think that, you know, from a longer term outlook perspective, you know, again, normally you see the market pull back into Thanksgiving, you start to work your way higher through December into January. Usually the first couple weeks of January do see some pressure as you get a lot of tax related selling after the first of the year. And then we get a run up in early February. I think that is a time window that we really need to focus on, is the early February, probably around the crop report, to look for a high, a seasonal high. But I do think that the ultimate high comes in early May, especially for corn and spring wheat, maybe not winter wheat. It just depends on what our weather is. As you break dormancy in mid-March and get the growing season underway, we do look for hard red winter wheat acres to be up significantly, and soft red to be up. We see that from the crop report, how seed use is up 4 million bushels. Well, that would suggest a roughly 4 million acre increase in winter wheat planted acres. So I think that is why you see those spreads are really starting to widen out now between old crop and new crop. It's going to be really tough for new crop to keep up the pace with the demand-led bull market in old crop versus what's expected to be a much bigger new crop coming, unless you get weather problems. And then that becomes a different story. So that's why May, you're still going to build in some weather premium in April, unless you just get ideal April weather. But either way, you're still going to have a battle for acres for corn and spring wheat and soybeans and barley and oats and canola and everything else that's grown in North Dakota, sunflowers, all these oil seeds are going to be competing with corn, which has become a proxy now for high fertilizer prices. So the corn market needs to compensate farmers for very expensive fertilizer, or that if they're even going to reduce fertilizer usage, that the reduction in yields will offset the cost of what it would have been for the fertilizer. So either way, the corn market needs to buy acres or protect its acreage base or even buy more acres. If farmers are going to apply less fertilizer, it's got to have more acres to get those bushels. So the corn market, I don't think is backing off at all. As long as energy prices stay where they are and fertilizer prices are off the charts, double or more than double what they were a year ago, corn has to compensate for that. The higher corn goes, the higher wheat goes, and wheat is in a bull market on its own anyway. So they're going to feed off of each other, and I just don't see this backing off in the near term, at least. And I think corn probably peaks in early May as it battles it out for acres in the spring. So there's a lot of dynamics going on in this market. Most of them are bullish. Again, you'll probably get your corrections, but like we're seeing, I don't think they're going to be very deep or long-lasting. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.